From Portland, Oregon, this is the Jewish Review Podcast. I'm Rockney Roll. Coming up this episode, we continue our series on the intersection of art and Judaism this week in a conversation with Shoshana Guggenheim-Kedem. Shoshana is the co-founder and director of Art Lab, a Portland-based nonprofit known for its year-long cohort-based fellowship program for contemporary Jewish artists. We discuss how Art Lab has evolved over its years, talk about some of the work that's come out of the program, and we're taking another run at trying to define what is Jewish art. Stay with us. The Jewish Review Podcast is brought to you by the Jewish Federation of Greater Portland, presenting Passover for All. Let all who are hungry come and eat, the Haggadah reads. Each year, the Federation's Passover for All fundraiser makes sure that families in need in the Portland area can do exactly that. Lend a hand today at jewishportland.org/Passover, the numeral 4, all 26. Link in the episode notes. Now let's dive back into Jewish art with Shoshana Guggenheim-Kedem. Shoshana Guggenheim-Kedem, welcome to the Jewish Review Podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you here. So tell me about your Jewish journey.
Oh, gosh, my Jewish journey. I'm going to tell you the shortened version. I grew up in a Jewish home. We were always members of a Reform synagogue. I had very little Jewish education and no Israel education whatsoever. No one in my family talked about Israel, ever went to Israel. Both of my brothers married outside of Judaism, weren't very connected, but I had this, like, none of us can really figure out where it came from, but this really deep interest in Judaism from a very young age. And so I was very involved in youth group, but quite honestly, that happened. I was born and lived from the first 13 years in the Midwest in Cincinnati, and then we moved to the South. And it was moving to the South that really kind of suddenly woke up this sense of being Jewish and that being Jewish was different. And because I was very much othered in that Southern experience, and I was living parallel lives, my youth group life and my school life. And those people never met each other. There was never any crossover. Eventually, I went to Israel on my junior year abroad. It was something I had always wanted to go to Israel, but had some other opportunities when I was in high school that I chose, knowing I'd be able to get to Israel later. I couldn't have found Israel on a map. But I really wanted to go. And that year in Israel at the Hebrew University really changed my life and changed the course of my life. That was really sort of where my Jewish education started. Mm-hmm. I went to Israel not knowing the Aleph Bet, the letters of the alphabet, and I was in what's called Ulpan, with the Hebrew language training, and I was in Aleph Ephes, which is like the zero, like level one, zero. So I had to spend the first 3 days, I remember, learning the alphabet. And that really, it really changed my life. I went back to Israel as soon as I could after I graduated from college, went back for several years and spent those 3 years studying in lots of different institutions, from the Hebrew University to Hebrew Union College, where I was a student for a year thinking that I was going to go down the path of professional Jewish life at that time in Jewish communal service and education. And I did that for a year and realized that wasn't what I wanted. And I just learned at different yeshiva, different schools of Jewish learning there mm-hmm. in Jerusalem. Ended up, and I was there for like 3 years and ended up moving to Boston with a group of folks that I had met there. And we had this very strong Jewish community. And one of the things that was really, really important to me, and that was one of the doorways back into my Jewish identity, was both art practice, but also the doorway of Judaism and ecology. And so I was very involved in, I was working and living at the Teva Learning Center at Isabella Freeman in New England. And those, the people who came through that place and also came through Eilat Chaim, which was like a Jewish renewal retreat center that Reb Zalman had been very involved in. Maybe he was part of starting that. And all of those people I still cross paths with today. They sort of are somehow we're all still, a lot of those people weave in and out of my life. But I spent 5 years and very involved with both of those institutions and doing a master's degree in Jewish studies while I was living in Boston. And then I went back to Israel in 2000 on an artist residency in Arad in the south of Israel in the desert. And I lived there for 9 months. And during that time, actually even before then, I had become interested in Torah scribes. Mm-hmm. And so it was like in the early 90s that I started inquiring and having this great fascination with Torah scribes and realizing very early on that women don't scribe. And that's a whole nother, or at that time, women, there were no women scribes. That's a whole nother story. That became a very central part of my learning and my growth. And eventually I did go on to become a scribe and to find a teacher. And that training that I did was during that residency year in 2000. And then I stayed in Israel from 2000. My kids were born there. I stayed there until 2016 when we moved here. And all that time I was working as an artist and a scribe and running different kinds of projects at the intersection of Jewish thought and contemporary art practice. And then we ended up here in Portland.
Where you became a founding piece of Art Lab here in Portland. For those audience members who may not be aware, what is Art Lab and how does it work? Specifically thinking of the flagship cohort program for artists.
So Art Lab as a program emerged inside an organization called CoLab in 2021. And we had our first artist fellowship cohort in 2021, which was a curated group of, I think we had 10 artists at that time. Everyone had to go through an application process. And we were really interested in exploring a chosen theme and finding that intersection between people's art practices and that theme, which we would study through Jewish texts. So the cohort meets monthly for about 4 hours, and we study text and we dialogue about our work through critical feedback and also sharing about our Jewish journeys and doing some Jewish identity work. And outside of our time together, folks are creating new work that is inspired and informed by the year's theme. So, for instance, this year we're in our fourth year of cohorts, and we took a pause year last year, and so we're in our fourth cohort. And our theme this year is memory. Some other themes have been the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year, and gift. And I'm forgetting one of the other ones. Forgive me. This past summer, Art Lab became its own organization. So now we have the cohort fellowship, and we also run arts workshops once a month that our Art Lab alumni or our fellowship alumni are running. And so in their genres, so it could be in puppetry or in theater or in filmmaking or writing, because our artists are across all genres of mm-hmm. art making. So we think very expansively about art and artists. So we've had a chef amongst our artists. So it's really important for me that we really sort of push the boundaries of what creative practice is and how we think about contemporary art practice. So Art Lab is the cohort, and it's our monthly workshops. And we also have a podcast called The Genesis. It's hosted by Rabbi Josh Rose. And the focus of that is really Jewish arts and culture. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of amazing conversations that Josh is having with all kinds of different artists who are coming out of our fellowship program, but also throughout the Pacific Northwest, and then other guest artists sometimes For instance, we just released an episode with Cara Levine, who is one of the artists showing work at the Oregon Jewish Museum. She's based in LA. So we're really exploring through the podcast a lot of the same things that we're exploring in the fellowship. We want to understand, what are people's Jewish journeys? What is their, where is their work going? Where is the intersection between their contemporary art practice and their Jewish lives and Jewish practices? And the conversations in the podcast are, they meander and they're fabulous. I'm really, really loving our podcast. And then the fourth pillar of the work that we do is a gallery. Right now, our gallery is on pause, but the vision for the gallery, which we really hope to get up and running again, is that we will host contemporary Jewish artists from Portland, drawing primarily from our Art Lab fellows, but not only. So we'd love to see other Jewish artists who are living in the Portland area, who are living in Oregon, who are living in the Pacific Northwest. We're looking at that in collaboration with the EJC so that we might not be the only curators of that space. But I really want to create a space that is for Jewish artists to experiment and to show, you know, to either show their work, to experiment, to have like a project space. And the idea of the gallery really emerged after October 7th, mm-hmm. where I was hearing again and again from artists that I know on the West Coast, artists that I know here in the Portland area, as well as artists that I work with or was working with then on the East Coast, and in larger conversations nationally, that a lot of artists were feeling unsafe to show their work in galleries where they might feel marginalized or unsafe to bring the kind of work or themes in their work that they were feeling most pertinent, but they didn't feel like they could do that safely alongside other folks. And artists whose shows were being canceled, writers who were having contracts canceled, performance that was being canceled, and I really wanted to create a space that was really centering emerging Jewish artists and create a space where people could bring the full spectrum of conversation and identity to that space. Certainly not monolithic politically or Jewishly, but a place where Jews can feel safe to exhibit their work.
So speaking of some of that work, I understand that a group of Art Lab fellows have recently received a rather prestigious honor.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
So the Jerusalem Biennale happens every other year in Jerusalem. It's the largest exhibition of contemporary Jewish art in the world, as far as I know. And the curators are invited to propose an exhibition every 2 years, and I proposed an exhibition that was sourced from our Art Lab alumni. So the exhibition itself, the curatorial context of it, is actually inspired by Rabbi Sharon Brous's book, The Amen Effect, and a very specific Mishnah, which deals with grief and the experience of grief and the encounter of the rest of the community with grief, and very specifically about the sort of the choreography of how offerings were brought to the temple in Jerusalem in ancient times. It is very obscure and it's very profound. And I was so inspired by what Rabbi Sharon interpreted this text and wrote a whole book that was inspired by it. And so this show is informed by that. And we have 14 of our fellowship alumni who are participating in the show, and we were accepted amongst what I understand. There were 150 curators who submitted proposals, and 30 of those were accepted, and we'll be showing our work in a non-traditional space at the Fuchsberg Center for Jewish Life in Jerusalem. We're super excited about that.
Fantastic. Yeah. Mazel tov to all involved.
Thank you.
Tell me about some of the work that's been coming out of recent Art Lab cohorts.
You know, I think it's also important to understand that some artists come to Art Lab because it's the right time for them, meaning like they're working on a particular piece. There seems to be this synchronicity between something that they're wrestling with in their own work, something that's already in progress, but the experience of being in Art Lab sort of deepens their understanding of that topic or gives another lens to it. For instance, Rebecca Claren, who was in the first cohort, she was working on a book that was later published. It's called The Cost of Free Land. It's a story about her family, but it's also a journalistic piece sort of about how land trades happened and then sort of the story of how her Jewish family ended up being the owners of land that really had belonged very directly to Native Americans who had occupied and lived in that space for many, many years, as we all know. So she was really exploring. We were looking at the Shemitah year that year. And one of the concepts of the Shemitah year is that land is released and slaves are released. And there were some concepts in Jewish thought, and particularly around Shemitah, that she wanted to explore that year and then went on to finish her book. Daniela Molnar also won the Oregon Book Award recently for a book of poetry. But she was also working on a book that just came out, which is an erasure of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. She was working on that during her time. And it's a phenomenal, very moving, very difficult and poetic, beautiful piece. For people who don't know what an erasure poem is, or even an erasure book, it's basically taking an original text and literally erasing or blacking out text so that what remains is the work itself. I mean, some would say that what is erased is obviously, I believe, is also part of the work. So there's this real tension between what is left and what was taken away, even if you don't know what was taken away. In the protocols, we know that so much of what was taken away is this like terribly anti-Semitic trope that has been perpetuated for many years and still circulates. Michael Turner was working on a film, and that piece is a documentary film about his grandmother, who was a Holocaust survivor, and the memorial. It's called Monument.
Monument. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the monument, the memorial monument that was... She hired a sculptor in the community where she had grown up to build in memory of the people from her village who had died. And it's his going back and telling that story through film. Again, a project that he was already working on, but the experience of being in Art Lab helped to sort of deepen that conversation, inform the nature of his work, sort of that's, you know, the questions that we get to ask ourselves, that the artists get to ask themselves while they're in the Art Lab space and in the cohort in particular, because the cohort is our only program that is ongoing, meaning that it's one group of people who have applied to be a part of this. They make commitments to us. We make commitments to them, including bringing their work to the public. We give them an honorarium. We send them on an artist residency. We really want to support them as much as we can to be deeply engaged in their artistic process. And what they bring is really showing up with a lot of curiosity and a lot of vulnerability. And they build an incredible community. Every cohort has its own nature, and they always find amongst themselves a community that they didn't know was available to them. And then we cross-pollinate that. Like, we're getting ready. We're having our third multi-cohort retreat coming up, and it's an opportunity for anyone from any of the cohorts to come together out at Camp Colton, which is owned by one of our alumni. And it's just an opportunity to be together as artists, to have expansive time together, to workshop, to take long walks, to dialogue, to really do what we do in those 4-hour cohorts, but to have it in a much more expansive way, and an opportunity for folks to get to know each other from other cohorts. So it's a really lovely, because you know, one of the things that's very, very important for me, and I think at the end of the day, when we hear this a lot, and I've heard this in other spaces, the experience was really life-changing, but the most important thing at the end of the day was being in a room with other Jews. And as artists, I think that that exaggerated feeling of isolation and marginalization that I heard people, that I know that people were experiencing and that people were sharing that happened after October 7th, I think that it's sort of always there a little bit all the time. And so just the capacity to be able to take a deep breath, to just like put your stuff down and take a breath and be and feel like, oh, here I am with my people. And those people have varying politics. We are across the spectrum politically. We are across the spectrum in terms of religious observance or relationship to Judaism. But there's something about just as artists coming together and being in that cohort space together where people feel like they can let their guard down and just show up. And so community building is an essential part of what Art Lab is doing and part of the mission for me. It would never be enough for me to just be offering programming. It's very, very important that people are connecting, that they're building community, that they're growing as artists, as individuals, as Jews. All of those things are very meaningful and important. Yeah.
And when you are able to let your guard down like that, to really be comfortable, mm-hmm. that's where really good art starts to come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I love art. We have an exhibition at the end of every year. Those exhibitions have always been at the EJC. It also was really important as we were emerging, as Art Lab was emerging, the EJC was also emerging. And I'm a very collaboration-oriented person. And it was important for me, and it still is, to feel that we were helping by offering the programming that we offer, that we were helping the EJC to fulfill its mission as well. And so the EJC has felt like the right home for the gallery. That's where the gallery is located. That's where we often do our cohort meetings. We also do it at the Oregon Jewish Museum. It's been important for me to collaborate with the museum as well. Some of our workshops are offered at the museum, and a lot of them are offered at the EJC, and we're just starting to branch out into other places around the city. So those end of year exhibitions were sometimes, like the first year, and I think the second year too, were just kind of a takeover of the EJC space. And we just installed work all over. And then we decided, let's take this room. I had my eye on this room sort of tucked back down a hallway at the EJC. And I felt like such a great space for us to, this could really be a great gallery.
Mm-hmm. And it is a beautiful gallery. I've seen it.
It's a really nice gallery. So we fixed it up and had our end of year show for the third year cohort there. And we've since had a couple more shows that were alumni exhibitions. We will have a show there in June for this cohort, the fourth cohort. And we hope that we'll get the funding that we need and want to be able to keep curating that space and operating that space as the Art Lab Gallery, and do that in collaboration with different organizations and groups throughout Portland.
Well, you mentioned some of the challenges that Jewish artists have faced in recent years, particularly in a post-October 7th landscape. Mm-hmm. What are some of the ways that you see the the reality of how Jewish life and Jewish community have changed post October 7th reflected in Jewish art?
Well, first of all, what's Jewish art?
That's a fair question.
I am really hesitant to even offer a definition of what Jewish art is. And this is a question that constantly comes up. You know, it's the elephant in the room. Is it Jewish art because it's art that's made by Jewish artists? Or is there something inherent that makes some particular kind of art? Is there some aspect of it, doesn't matter who made it, could be made by a non-Jew to make it Jewish art? I don't have any answer for that. And I'm not sure that this is the right place to discuss that. It's an ongoing conversation. So your question, to me, the answer is about the artists. How have the artists changed? Because I think people are responding. There's a lot of work. And this is what we do as artists, right? We respond to history. We respond to, not all of us, but a lot of us as artists are responding to moments in time. So there's a lot of work out there that is responding to October 7th. Does that mean that it's Jewish art? I can't really answer that. I just know that I think it's more that the artists who have changed than the art.
Interesting.
Does that make sense? Like what we hope is that we're always going to grow and change as artists because we're affected by and responding to the world. Art is never the same. I mean, there are genres and there are movements, but it's the people who change, really, and that's what matters, I think.
And if the people change, the art will naturally change along with, theoretically.
Yeah. So there's been so many ways that people have responded to October 7th, whether it's in film or in dance or in visual art or in music or, I mean, in literature, artists are responding because we're humans, but that doesn't necessarily mean that art is changing. It means that the people are changing and or have changed or are moved. And so we're making work.
Fair enough. I suppose that's what artists do. For those who want to, here in Portland, want to be more engaged with contemporary Jewish art, even if defining it is perhaps a struggle, as we've discussed, what avenues are there for folks to engage with that kind of work that's coming out?
Like I said, we have our art lab has an exhibition, an end of year exhibition in June at the Eastside Jewish Commons, and there'll be more being released about that. You can follow our social media. And in terms of other places, there's Aura, that is a Jewish artists collective, and there's the Oregon Jewish Museum. And the Oregon Jewish Museum right now has two amazing exhibits that are created by contemporary Jewish artists. And one is in Brooklyn, or the other is Kara, who I mentioned, who's in LA. And I think that those are really, really important exhibitions to see. And then the rest is, like I said, our artists, they give book talks, they do performances, they release films, they have essays published, they have exhibitions, but they're not necessarily contained in one space. So a really great way to connect is to go to our website, and there you can see all of the artists who have been in our fellowship. And you can follow live links to their websites and get to know their work and what they're doing. And that's been really important because I've wanted to really expand the capacity for audiences to connect with our artists and the work that they're making. So our Art Lab website serves as a really nice clearinghouse for that.
Outstanding. Well, we'll link to all of those resources in the show notes, and I look forward to exploring them more in depth myself. Shoshana Guggenheim-Kedem, thank you so much for joining us on the Jewish Review Podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
That's all for this episode of the Jewish Review Podcast. Thank you so much to Shoshana Guggenheim-Ketem for taking the time to chat. To learn more about Art Lab's programs and the artists it supported, visit artlabpdx.org, link in the episode notes. As our loyal listeners may be aware, Purim is next week. We're planning to pause and party, so the Jewish Review Podcast next episode will be released Wednesday, March 18th. If you like this episode, please leave a 5-star review on the podcast platform of your choice to help others find our show. Click subscribe to get our latest episodes as they release, and tell a friend. If you really want to show your support, your gift to the Jewish Federation of Greater Portland's annual Campaign for Community Needs makes this podcast, our community newspaper, and so much of the work we cover possible. Learn more and make your gift today at jewishportland.org/give. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please reach out by email to editor@jewishportland.org. The Jewish Review Podcast is a production of the Jewish Federation of Greater Portland. Our associate editor is Karone Blau Rothstein. Assistant editor is Rachel Nelson. Our theme music is by Isaac Joel. I'm Rockin' and Roll. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, all the best.